It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Fairhead. Wisconsin's state Supreme Court race is set for April 1st with liberal-backed candidate Susan Crawford, a circuit court judge, facing conservative-backed Brad Schimmel, former Republican Attorney General of Wisconsin.
The position is officially nonpartisan, but control of the court hangs in the balance, with justices seen as leaning liberal currently holding a 4-3 majority over more conservative-leaning justices. The outcome could have a big influence over legal challenges on abortion laws, labor rights, and more.
Anya Van Wagtendonk is WPR's state capitol reporter. She's, of course, following the race. Anya, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning.
Let's set the scene on this partisan balance in the court. Anya, these are officially nonpartisan races. There's no D or R next to the candidates' names. But we get subtle clues like all the Democrats back one candidate, all the Republicans back another. Talk about the current state of the court and what could swing.
Yeah, very subtle clues. So right now, the court has a 4-3 liberal majority that occurred 2 years ago after another very high profile race, pretty similar to what we're watching today. It swung the court to a liberal majority for the first time in 15 years. And so once again, this race pits a liberal backed candidate against a conservative backed candidate that would once again decide, will this continue to be a liberal held court? Will it swing it back to the conservative side? Both sides are pretty invested in getting, you know, their perspective.
Let's meet both the candidates, and there are two, so there won't be a primary in this race. Let's start with the conservative-backed candidate, Brad Schimmel, now a county judge, former Wisconsin attorney general. Introduce us to Brad Schimmel as a candidate.
Yeah, so he is currently a Waukesha County judge, and that's kind of already known as the conservative circuit court in the state. And he was the Republican attorney general for a term from 2015 to 2019. And so while he held that office, we have a sense of his record there. He oversaw a few pretty high profile cases, including one that appealed a case about abortion all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And he identifies as pro-life. That case would have restricted abortion access. So that gives this one sense into his kind of perspective there. And then he also joined with other Republican attorneys general in 2018 in a lawsuit attempting to overturn the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare.
And then Susan Crawford, Dane County judge.
Similarly, Dane County Circuit Court is known as the liberal court in Wisconsin. That's where she sits. And in the past, she worked for a Madison law firm that's known as a liberal law firm. She's also worked on cases involving abortion, except that she was on the side challenging abortion restrictions. And she also worked for quite a while under former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle. She was his legal counsel when he was the governor. And before that, when he was the attorney general, she was his assistant attorney general.
Let's talk a little bit about the stakes here. Now, for a good long time, you had a Republican governor of Wisconsin, Republican legislature, a conservative Supreme Court tended to back the decisions that came out of that legislature. Well, now, Democratic governor, Republican-led legislature, divided government. Does that mean that in some ways the Supreme Court is even higher stakes when the governor and the legislature come into conflict?
Yeah, absolutely. And not just in Wisconsin. We see that kind of all over the country in states, especially these kind of swing states like Wisconsin, that struggle to get things done at those lower levels. And so the courts end up being where a lot of policy decisions are decided. And so I think that's why we saw so much money go into the 2023 race that, again, first kind of knocked this court over to a liberal majority. And I think we're going to see that happen again. We're already getting the signs that this is going to be another high profile, high money race for that very reason, that our government does not get a whole lot accomplished at the legislative level right now.
What are some of the big issues that either have been recently decided at the state Supreme Court or are likely to make their way up there?
Yeah, there's a couple things that are pending, and because we don't know the exact timing, again, that's a reason for both sides to want control to kind of oversee the final outcomes of those cases. So probably the most high profile, that people are really paying attention to is a case challenging a Civil War era law about abortion. It's the status of abortion in Wisconsin is in the courts. And so right now with a liberal majority, people really celebrated, liberals really celebrated the arrival of Protasiewicz as an opportunity to kind of clarify that abortion is legal in Wisconsin. That case could be, arguments have already started, but that case could potentially continue down the pike. There's a case challenging Act 10, which overturned public sector collective bargaining rights for public sector workers. That is expected to make its way before this court. And so a lot of these issues, again, in the next couple of months, we will see whether this current liberal court is going to decide them in the next couple of months or whether the new court is going to hear them. And so depending on who takes over on August 1st, can really decide those issues.
Talking to Anya Van Wagtendonk, our state capitol reporter here at WPR, looking at the road ahead in the state Supreme Court race, Election Day, April 1st. Anya, one challenge in these kind of races is a lot of voters are wondering, hey, candidate for Supreme Court, how would you rule on abortion or Act 10 or redistricting or whatever? And one thing most candidates will not do is say how they would rule on these things. Can you talk about the weird dance that these candidates have to do?
Yeah, weird dance is a very good way of putting it, because judges and candidates for courts had the same First Amendment free speech protections as all the rest of us. They are allowed to say, and this has been, you know, decided by state courts as well as the U.S. Supreme Court, they are allowed to say what they believe, you know, the values that they hold, their personal opinions. And of course, you know, with both of these candidates, Schimmel and Crawford, they have long careers where they've worked in a variety of different capacities. And so when you're a lawyer versus when you're a judge, you can say different things because you're working on different cases. And those are just, you know, different approaches to that type of legal work. But what you can't do is say, I will decide a case in XYZ fashion. And so because these turn into political races, there is that weird dance, as you say, where they want to be able to point to their record and kind of signal to voters that they stand somewhere on a particular issue without violating the one thing that they can't do, which is say, and therefore I will rule in XYZ way on that issue. So it does become a little complicated, and we end up seeing, you know, both sides accusing the other of violating ethics norms or ethics codes for having done or said something in a past job or publicly to align with their values rather than necessarily making a quote-unquote campaign promise.
Right. We saw Republicans unhappy about now Justice Protasiewicz and her campaign saying more explicit stuff about, you know, for example, the state's voting maps. Now I'm seeing Crawford campaign supporters saying, hey, Brad Schimmel directly reacted to court rulings that he might face and expressed his opinion clearly. Are you expecting that kind of back and forth over the next, 2.5 months on that?
I think definitely. And if nothing else, it kind of just seeds the ground for them to be able to make these arguments over, you know, my opponent is more of an activist, I am more of a judge. And I think that that, again, is a little bit of that tricky dance that comes out of this being essentially a political campaign for a non-political or non-partisan office. It just ends up being part of what they argue about. They'll also be arguing about their records as prosecutors and as judges and as lawyers. They have, again, these really long careers where they can just be kind of cherry picking, well, my opponent did or said this. Because these are also often lower turnout races, they're high profile for court races, but they're still non-presidential years. They're still in April when people are not necessarily like expecting to go to the polls. So it's every little bit of kind of fodder against your opponent could potentially help.
Well, Anya, it feels like the Wisconsin economy has three parts lately: agriculture, manufacturing, and political campaign spending. And how is this one shaping up? How much money is flowing into this race?
Yeah, well, in 2023, we saw basically every single record for court campaign spending just shattered. And we are expecting to see kind of similar numbers this time around, which is particularly notable because, as you mentioned, there's no primary. And so this race is only going to involve two candidates in a slightly more truncated time frame. And so for that to still approach that dollar sign number is pretty crazy. So we're already starting to see the initial disclosures coming in. $1 million from the Democratic Party into the Crawford campaign. Republican mega donor Dick Uihlein has started funding the Schimmel campaign. So we're seeing these kind of like high profile spenders enter the race. And so I think, you know, I think it was $53 million in the Protasiewicz campaign. And we're expecting to see tens of millions of dollars this time around as well.
Wisconsin statewide elections can have incredibly close margins. A Protasiewicz won, as I recall, a little more comfortably. I will certainly not ask you to predict the outcome of this race, Anya, but there's every possibility it could be a tight race, right?
I think that's right. You know, Brad Schimmler is understood to have a little bit more statewide name recognition as the former attorney general. And also because there's no primary, there's not that sense of kind of interest, you know, stone throwing. And so they've really just been highly focused on one another, the liberal side against the conservative side. And so I think that, you know, it doesn't muddy the waters quite as much. And so you really end up with, you know, in this partisan landscape that we have, people kind of going to their respective camps and backing their respective opponents. I also, you know, I have the open question of whether, because of the 2023 campaign and just how much attention that got, if now, you know, the more average Wisconsinite is just a little bit more prepared for what it means to have a court race of this level. Again, we saw kind of record level turnout at that time, and what that meant for an off-year court race was, you know, 20% rather than whatever the, you know, high presidential numbers are. But I do wonder if now people just pay a little bit more attention, and so we can expect to see, you know, the average voter paying a little bit more attention this early on.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Anya, we've got a couple months yet to go to this campaign. What are you watching for in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely continuing to pay attention to those campaign finance reports and seeing which kind of parties are interested, especially like political action committees. We know, you know, sort of who is aligned with which of those big groups. So definitely paying attention to those. And then also, you know, Wisconsinites are very accustomed to just getting flooded with political ads, and they got to spend 2024 just constantly being barraged by political ads. So they can expect to see a couple more of those, months of those ahead. And so we'll also be paying attention to the advertising, really paying attention to the messaging that both candidates are putting out there, and trying to get a sense of, you know, what's true and what's a little bit more political spin, and trying to keep our listeners aware of the facts.
Anya, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Anya Van Wagtendonk, WPR State Capitol reporter. She talked to us about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race.